Five. Welcome back to Yoel's podcast.
Hey, you know what I'm saying? Welcome back, guys. We are live here on a Saturday night here in Israel, but he's in Salem, Oregon. We're going to respond to a couple very interesting videos. We got Jay Bay here. That's his name. That's his legal name. Yes, Jay, last name Bay. It's going to be really interesting info about the war in Israel and Gaza, even up in Lebanon. But we're going to cover a couple different topics, things that kind of cover America's involvement as well as Israel, and kind of give a good general perspective. The first video, though, is going to be a video that kind of covers the war crimes. A lot of people are accusing Israel of committing war crimes. So this video kind of did a good job explaining kind of the whole concept. If you want to chime in when I get it going, we can respond to it. It's really dusty in houses in Israel. I don't know why it's dusty quick.
Yeah. Bless you. Probably all the over there. Too soon?
All the what?
Nothing.
All the what?
Nothing.
Wow. Should I tick off the subtitles? Yeah, I probably should.
Israel commits war crimes is nothing new.
Committing war crimes.
War crimes.
War crimes. Let's be honest.
Let's restart it, because
the accusation that Israel commits war crimes is nothing new.
Committing war crimes.
War crimes.
War crimes. Let's be honest. In the 21st century, wars are fought on multiple fronts, including the internet. Each side is determined to prove its legitimacy. Accusations fly hard and fast, with little regard for accuracy.
The fog of war usually refers to people on the battlefield. Well, this now also applies to some of the combatants on social media,
spreading misinformation and outright lies.
And each accusation.
What do you think so far?
I mean, a lot of the internet, there are a lot of lies on any perspective, on any conflict, any situation. So, I mean,
don't give me the political correct BS, bro. I want that hard.
You dropped my location and my legal name, so.
Did I?
Yep.
No, I did not. I can't even spell your name.
I know. No, I mean, keep watching. We'll see, just because, like, I don't know. Some of the stuff, I think, is propaganda, and I think propaganda is used on both sides, and so it wouldn't be a stretch to say that Israel does have propaganda.
Oh, definitely. They definitely, I mean, both sides do.
Yeah.
I mean, they both want to tell their story, and obviously they're gonna, especially when things are hot and heavy, most people are not going to show the side of the argument that's already, I guess, being told by other people. They're going to tell their perspective. So then it just becomes like a propaganda war of like, here's why we're not bad, and here's why what we're doing is good.
Yeah.
And then the other side says, here's why we're not bad, and here's why what we're doing, or why we're the victims, or why you should be on our team. So I think that's going to be a really difficult thing to overcome in the coming years, especially as like deep fakes and AI comes.
So it's going to be... Did you see there was like an AI like clip of like Israel or Gaza, and people are like, this is AI or whatever. I don't know if you saw it. I think
people are saying there's an AI generated video of a burnt baby. So like that never happened. Like a lot of people, dude, it's getting bad. Like people don't think that on October 7th, like people, one, either don't think that that actually happened, like that the Israeli government's making it up, or two, they're saying that the Israeli military actually like shot their own people to like.
That's what I heard too. They were saying, why aren't more videos coming out of the conflict or something like that?
Yeah, like I would say from being here, like there are a lot of stuff. Like I even have like a drive that my cousin sent me. Mm-hmm. Dude, no one wants, like most rational people don't want like their dead family or like injured family like out there. There is a lot of stuff,
yeah,
but most people aren't like, here, like use this as like proof that this is justified. Like obviously the Gaza side is going to do that.
Yeah. Well, it's like
has been doing that.
It's like what's recent situation, Kobe Bryant, when his helicopter crashed, like his family was pretty mad, like that.
Yeah,
apartment.
Well, they sued, didn't they? They sued, yeah. Mm-hmm. Somebody, like the police officer or somebody that either just release his dead body or something like that. Like that's pretty bad. So yeah, most people are not really into having their, you know, deceased family member, you know, shown. It's like, this is a small country. So like no one likes to see that, you know? So
yeah,
it's just different cultures maybe.
Yep.
But let's keep watching.
Accusation is more damning than the next.
Daily war crimes.
Genocide.
Crimes against humanity.
It's tempting to use increasingly dramatic language. Both sides. It was the biggest massacre of Jewish people since the Holocaust.
Massacre Israelis.
The IDF began striking Gaza the next day. Almost immediately, critics began accusing Israel of war crimes.
A war crime.
But the more we misuse or inflate this kind of language, the less these concepts actually mean. And I want to be clear. I'm talking here about legal definitions, about what is permissible under international law. That doesn't mean it's pleasant. That doesn't mean it's comfortable. That doesn't mean we're happy about it. We aren't denying the suffering of civilians in Gaza. We're asking, does what is happening meet the legal definition of war crime?
A war crime is...
What's up?
That's one thing I don't understand about people. They act like war is like clean. They act like it's going to be a perfect like fairy tale. Like there's not going to be any like accidental civilians killed. There's not going to be any like accidents, anything like that. They act like, okay, it's like the old days where like the armies would march out in the middle of fields and just fight each other. They act like it's clean like that. It's not.
Anymore. I don't even think that really was ever the case, like where they're like, let's all meet in the field where there's no one around and let's do this war thing. Like,
yeah,
I don't think that's how it ever was. I think that's just like Hollywood BS funded by the military industrial complex to like have us be okay with wars.
Yeah.
And have it be like, oh, okay. Like, yeah, they're just duking it out and you know, only men are getting hurt and you know, it's not that bad. So I heard some crazy statistic where it's like, it's like in the millions of German citizens died, but like way less Brits died. I think like 70,000 civilians in England died, but then like millions of Germans died. Does that mean that the war against the Nazis was like not justified? And I thought that was pretty interesting. Not that you want any sort of, you know, civilians dying, but the disproportionality, is that even a word? The disproportionality of the civilian deaths, does that really paint a clear picture of whose war, whose side is the good side, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, the good guys should have objectively less bodies.
If they're good at war, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they're not dying and they're killing more. It's just how war
Yeah, works. Maybe you suck at war.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe you gotta look in the mirror, you know what I'm saying? Maybe you shouldn't start disproportionate wars. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Don't pick fights you can't win.
You know what I'm saying? Like there's a reason, like Mexico probably doesn't like America. There's a reason they don't fight America, or like Canada would probably like access to things that we have, or, you know, other countries, but they don't for a particular reason. They don't want to take that out. But, you know, the whole religious concept of it, that kind of blinds people, be like, oh, who cares? We'll start the war. We don't care about our civilians. Like they'll jihad with us.
Yeah.
You know, it's sad, sad world we live in.
Is a violation of the international laws of war, which are principally now found in the Geneva Conventions. For example, the intentional targeting of civilians, the use of human shields, the taking of non-combatants as hostages, torture of prisoners. The essence of the law of war is distinguishing civilians from combatants.
So far, sounds like Hamas basically used all the examples outlined in the Geneva Conventions as a how-to manual.
80% was torture. And you're talking children, adults,
militants kidnapped more than 100 people.
Hamas is willing to use innocent civilians as essentially human shields.
But we already knew that. We're not asking whether Hamas commits war crimes. We're trying to figure out if Israel does. The IDF has said time and again that their airstrikes don't target civilians.
The civilians are in a...
You know what's funny? So a lot of people are saying it's a genocide. And like when I'm arguing with people on social media, I got banned now. I can't do anything. I literally can't even comment on your pro. Like I can't do anything.
Dang.
I always say to them as like a comeback of like the genocide concept. I'm like, I don't think you understand how many bombs we dropped and how few people we actually killed. Like if you actually wanted to genocide a whole area, like they're underestimating like the military, the Israeli military, like they could literally take out that whole strip if they wanted to, if they were evil, if they, you know, we're just going to just try to genocide a whole group of people. So
yeah, I just
that's one of the things that annoys people.
Yeah, I saw your post on your story. You were saying like they could just bomb all of Gaza, but instead they're doing a ground invasion to protect the citizens in Gaza.
Yeah, no, definitely. That's the other thing. Like, if they just wanted to do that, they would just, why wouldn't they just, you know, oh, well, maybe to get the civilians out. But, you know, the issue with the civilians is, like, you can't massacre, like, 1,400 people and then take, like, a couple hundred hostages and be like, oh, we have leverage on them. Like, now it's like, if you just took hostages, then you probably would, because we'd be like, okay, well, you know, let's play ball before there's like more bloodshed on not only our soldiers, but, you know, just any sort of civilians. Right. So it's definitely like the logic is just not there. That's why it's really easy to dispute with people when arguing, because they just pull so much randomness out and they've never had it actually like confronted, like, honestly. Mm-hmm. So when you do confront it, they like always go to emotional arguments. Once you bring logic in, they're like, well, why aren't you like, don't you feel compassion for them? I'm like, I do. Okay. What's your point? Like, I'm sad that they're dying. You think I want them to die? Like, no, but, and then they like change the subject. It's hilarious.
There's a lot of emotional arguments made in anything though.
Only for them. They're the only ones that we should feel sorry for. And then like, obviously you can say the same thing. Oh, well, Israel should be the only people you should feel sorry for. But the issue is like, they're so used to being able to be classified as the victim. They have no other card because Israel's a powerful country now. They have a strong military. So no one really buys the whole, like, Israel's a victim card, obviously, for the most part until now because of what happened. Yeah. So it's the only card they have, you know? So it's very difficult to undo what you've been, I guess, doing for a long time.
Yeah.
Very difficult situation. I understand that they are not the target.
But it's impossible to deny that IDF airstrikes do hurt Palestinian civilians in Gaza, nearly 50% of whom are under the age of 18. The airstrikes destroy homes and livelihoods. They kill and wound innocent people, and they leave an entire population traumatized. Doesn't all that suffering constitute a war crime? Let's break it down. The International Criminal Court has only been around for a couple of decades. Its purpose is to prosecute war criminals, and it does so using the Rome Statute of the
Black Power representing
International Criminal Court, which defines all the war crimes that deserve punishment, like targeting civilians.
Despite Hamas openly slaughtering innocent civilians, there are no reliable reports that the Israel Defense Forces have intentionally targeted civilians.
As awful as it is, the legal definition of a war crime
You know what the issue is also is like, Israel's held up to like a completely different standard.
Yeah,
like Hamas, it's like Hamas can like kidnap people, target civilians intentionally, you know, use people as human shield, but no one talks about that at all. Like Israel, you can't do this, you can't do that. When they're the government of Gaza, you know, they're a terrorist organization, but they're the government of Gaza. So if you're going to hold anybody to that standard, you know,
yeah,
it needs to be both parties.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Hamas isn't really looked at as a military, just more of a terrorist organization. So they're not going to follow any of the rules. So, and Israel has.
The issue is they're looked at as a military when it's convenient, and they're not when it's inconvenient, right? Yeah.
Yep.
It's like they're a military when it comes to, you know, claiming they're fighting for the Palestinians or claiming they're fighting for Islam. Oh, you know, our organization, we did this, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, it's just, it's really, really, really annoying, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
We'll do a little bit of this and then we'll go to the next thing.
Hinges on intention. Is an attack intended to kill civilians or not? If the answer is no, then the Israeli airstrikes cannot be considered.
What?
I can't see the video.
Oh, whoops. Good looks. Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
A war crime.
This is why I have someone else here, because I'll just like start zoning out.
Those intentions. Well, they told us.
Right now, we are fighting a war, and we are fighting a war against a terrorist organization, not against the population. And we make sure that they know which way to go in order for them to get out of harm's way.
The IDF issued evacuation orders for the civilian residents of Gaza City.
Israeli leaflets raining down, warning Gazans they have just 24 hours to move away from the border.
Over half have fled, and they did this to minimize casualties, just like they did for the
them of like airstrikes.
Be- because, see, this is a big conspiracy cover up. Because if they drop the leaflets, then when they do commit the genocide, they, you know, it's everything's like a conspiracy. Mm. Like, this is the thing. Like, they don't care about the facts. Like, it doesn't actually matter. It's all a means to an end, you know. So it's a cold world. That's why it's fun to argue, because I know I'm right, because I'm smart, I'm perfect, obviously. But mainly it's fun to argue because there's no logic. Like, once you entertain certain lies, you're unable to even argue or actually like debate, because you corner yourself in so many holes because you contradict yourself so many times.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's really fun to debate those types of people.
Yeah. What types of people are those?
Muslim? No, just people that support Palestine, that are just like pro Palestine from the river to the sea, which is a lot of people now. So, you know, every type of demographic.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
Crazy. The thousands of Israelis in Israel's north and south were threatened by Hezbollah and Hamas, respectively.
There is an ongoing evacuation effort, 28 communities to be evacuated.
So no, the deaths of civilians in Gaza, while tragic and painful beyond words, aren't a war crime on Israel's part. For civilian deaths to be a war crime, those deaths would have to be targeted and intentional. And they simply are not. The evacuation of Gazan civilians is an attempt to save civilian lives. Okay, what's next? The biggest criticism that we hear time and again is that Israel's attacks on Gaza are disproportionate.
The stark contrast in casualties on both sides is also suggestive of a wholly disproportionate response.
And that seems like a war crime. Even if Israel doesn't target civilians on purpose, it's hard to ignore the death tolls and the images of destruction that come out of Gaza.
The rapidly raising death toll in the enclave has now crossed the 5,700 mark.
According to the Gaza Ministry...
It's funny because no one talks about disproportionality when, like, it's them.
Yeah.
It's them doing it. That's what's hilarious.
Yeah.
Of health. Thousands of Palestinians have died.
A disproportionate response. Like, are we just counting bodies? Okay, you took 500 people from us. We're going to take 500 people from you. Like,
the thing is, people talk about like proportionality when you're trying not to escalate a situation, right? Like before a war. Like, for example, we're kind of doing that in the north of Israel. Mm-hmm. We're kind of going tit for tat. Instead of going, because they haven't really declared war, like Hezbollah in the north and Lebanon hasn't really declared war. Mm-hmm. So what you do in order to not escalate things, and I think it might be like a UN mandate of like one of the things to be part of the UN, like you have to like, only some people follow those rules, obviously.
Yep.
You kind of go like, okay, well, they shot anti-tank missiles. So we're going to hit a couple targets and then see what they do next. And then we're going to hit a couple, you know, warehouses, and kind of America's kind of doing that with the bases in Iraq. I don't know if they actually are, because they're, from the news that I'm reading, they're kind of just letting the bases in Syria and Iraq get hit kind of willy nilly and not really responding.
Yeah.
So
now is guys' response like an equal ish response in the north? Is that because you guys are already fighting in the south and you guys are kind of like, let's not start a war on two fronts?
Well, no one really wants, like, we're a country that is like just wants to chill for the most part. Like, we don't want to start a war. We're like America, you know. That's a horrible example. We don't want to start a war right now. We're kind of just chilling, right? So we're kind of just going tit for tat. We don't want to escalate things. But if they escalate things and they drag us into a war, we're gonna obviously. Then the proportionality goes out the window, because then you're at war. And then if you're in a war, you're in a war to win, right? Mm-hmm. So when Hamas went into Israel and did all the killing of civilians, it did, and took the hostages in, the whole like don't like have a proportionality response kind of went out the window. So at that point, you're just trying to win. You know, at that point, you know, okay, what's the war about? The war's about punishing the people that massacred the civilians in your country and getting the hostages back. So that's really it.
Mm. Yep, I agree.
So we're not really looking for, you know, disproportionality.
In this latest round of airstrikes, hold up. Gaza's Ministry of Health? Sounds official. Sounds legit. But Gaza's government is run by Hamas. Gaza's Ministry of Health is Hamas.
The other hilarious thing when I'm arguing with people about the conflict is the variant of numbers they bring up about the civilian deaths.
Yeah.
Like, it's sad to be laughing about this, but, like, I literally hear a different number every single time. And it's not, like, off by a couple hundred or, like, a couple thousand. It's like, you already killed 1,500 civilians. You already killed, you know, 8,000 civilians. You're killing 50 civilians every 10 minutes. I'm like, yeah. What? Like, did you guys get, yo, like, for real, like, it's crazy. You know, it's sad, but it is crazy. But that's the power of media, right? Like, you once you start seeing enough on your feed, you're like, dang, like, maybe it's true. Like, they're putting out all this stuff. Like, Al Jazeera is obviously unbiased, and they wouldn't lie to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Same terrorists who butcher Israeli civilians and call for a day of rage against Jews all over the world.
Hamas calling for a day of rage across the Arab world and beyond.
Jewish people around the world have been told to stay vigilant today.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we shouldn't be taking their casualty estimates at face value. But okay, let's say that the so-called Gazan health ministry is actually full of honest people. Let's pretend for a second that we can absolutely trust their numbers. The numbers they report are high. Does that indicate a war crime? Does proportionality, or lack thereof, matter when it comes to the laws of war? Turns out, sort of, but not in the way that you might think.
The calculus in proportionality is not about revenge. It's not about...
That guy kind of annoys me. Like, bro, like remember your script. Like, it's so, like, cringe the way he's, like, reading and like, trying to act.
Striking back against your enemy in direct proportion to how hard you were hit. We're not going to find...
What's up?
Did you take acting classes when you were in LA?
No, but I'm just saying, bro, you don't have to act. It's social media. Like, bro, just, like... But, you know, I guess he's... I don't know what this channel is, but I don't like this type of, like... Yeah, you know, it's not what you might think. Let's listen to the next. It's like, bro,
it's like, almost like a middle school like history lesson or history video, like,
yeah, like Bill Nye the Science Guy type.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Find X number of their civilians and rape and murder them. That's not proportionality.
In other words, it's not about an eye for an eye. It's not about perpetrating the exact same acts. It's not even about the number of bodies, which sounds nuts, I know, but here's why.
When you judge the appropriateness of an attack based on the number of people who died, you don't end up protecting civilians, you end up incentivizing human shields.
See, Hamas is really good at PR. They know they have a compelling story. The more civilians die, the more they can say, hey, we're justified in attacking Israel. And that's why they have an incentive to use human shields. The more dead civilians, the more legitimate Hamas looks. It feels so gross to say, but it's true. It was in their plans.
Yeah, it's cringe. All right, let's move on to a different video. This video is, let's see, which one do I want to share? It is an Instagram video. I think the next one is going to be about, oh yeah, the people in the American government that
support.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not good. You like this new, you like this layout?
I do.
It's kind of not bad.
It's not bad. Not too shabby.
That's cringe. That's cringe. I don't know why I talked like that.
Yeah. Why'd you let your voice get that high?
Oh no. That's kind of gay. Actually, it doesn't. It only works on like vertical videos where it looks good. Here, let me change it to the bottom. This version. Yeah.
No, this looks better for this video.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There we go. Is that good? Dude, I need to get another freaking monitor. Let me know if you're like having trouble hearing it.
And from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free.
Good.
You familiar with that?
Can you hear it?
Okay. I am.
Do you know what it means?
I do.
Can you explain it
to us? I already don't like this guy. He gives me pedo vibes.
Bald guy?
Palestinian desire.
Yeah, bald guy. He gives me pedo vibes.
Okay. Yeah.
Desire for its homeland and a very expansive definition of its homeland at the expense of the independence of Israel.
Well, indeed. I mean, it calls for the elimination of Israel, does it not?
It does.
So my question to you is, should students who are here on a visa, who gather and chant that slogan and actively advocate for the elimination of Israel and attacks on Jewish individuals, whether in the Middle East or here in the United States,
trying to corner them.
Should those students have their visas revoked?
Senator, I believe you are referencing a provision in the Immigration and Nationality Act about which you have written to me, and I am very familiar with your assertion.
Why is he reading?
That statutory provision requires the revocation of their visa.
Should they have their visa? I think
the correct answer.
Holy cow, bro. Like, just
he knows he's in the wrong. He knows he was cornered. He
had to. Bro, I feel like he's like an abused like kid or something. It's crazy.
We are assessing your legal assertion. It is a matter of legal interpretation.
You can't unsee it now.
Well, just as a moral matter, I mean, should students who are here, foreigners who are here in this country, accessing our university system and advocating for the killing of Jews, should they be allowed to stay here at our leisure?
Senator, it is a matter of law, and it requires a legal interpretation, and I am not in a position to provide that legal interpretation. And let me add something.
Wait. My time is very limited. I have to say, I think your answer is disappointing, but let me ask you something else. Let me ask you about people who say other things. What about people who say things like, on October the 7th, F Israel, I'm cleaning up the language here, F Israel, the government and its military, are you ready for your downfall? People who say things.
That's kind of base. I kind of liked hearing him say that. I don't know why. It kind of sounded funny.
Like, F Israel and any Jew who supports Israel.
That's crazy.
May your conscience haunt your dreams until your last breath. Palestine will be free one day. F apartheid Israel and is any Israeli. What, this is pretty extreme rhetoric, don't you think?
Senator, I do, and I think there is a distinction between espousing or endorsing terrorist ideology and a speech that is odious, that does not rise to that level.
Fair enough. This person works for you.
Oh.
This is Nuja Ali.
And he works for the, I believe, Homeland Security.
Yeesh.
An employee of the Department of Homeland Security who posted these comments on October the 7th.
An employee of the Department of Homeland Security of the United States felt this comfortable.
That's wild. And I, and you know, speaking about like emotional arguments, like before, like anybody knew what goes on the border, you just think it's like illegal immigrants from Mexico coming over. Then you learn about the border and you know it's people from all around the world coming through the Mexican border, not just Mexicans. And probably Mexicans coming over the border are probably like the minority that come over.
Well, that's the other thing. That's why they always focus on the Mexicans, because Mexicans are, most people are like, obviously we want to close border, but most people know Mexicans, right? That are maybe their family's illegal, whatever. And we're like, oh, we love Mexicans. You know what I'm saying? So we don't see it as like a security threat. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But that I did not know that that was not, the case, one. Yep. And two, I didn't know the level of the severity of the issue.
Yeah. I didn't realize like as soon as you get over, you're pretty much good. Like,
that's great, dude. That pisses me off. You know why? I'm a legal immigrant. I'm somebody that, bro, we came here, no criminal record. My dad had no criminal record. He's an educated guy, family, two young kids. Mm. We came here, right? Mm. He got here for a visa, school visa, and then we had to literally win a lottery. So that means even if you're good, you know, no issues, you already came here as a visa, you put you planted your feet here, he got his another master's here, he had to win a lottery, and he won the lottery. And then after that, he had to pay like lawyer fees.
Yeah.
And he didn't have the money, bro. He just straight out of college. So the company that hired him paid thousands of dollars for him to just get the green card.
Yeah.
And what's crazy is now we're hearing people that come over the border, they get a stipend, boom, and then they turn them into voters.
Yeah, I saw that video. Who's that new Speaker of the House? He's how they're letting like illegal immigrants.
He has such a basic name that I literally just forgot.
I want to say it's like Johnson or Mark Johnson.
Yeah, Mark Johnson. Yeah. So that was cool to hear. I mean, I definitely think he has a good head on his shoulders from what I hear so far. From the things he's saying, but let's keep watching.
I was born here. I didn't immigrate. My mom came over here, though. So
do you feel like you're like entitled to rights in America because you're born? Oh yeah, you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Evans, that's not all she posted. She also posted this graphic.
Bro, isn't that
crazy? This is a fake graphic, I want to be clear, but I think we understand it. This is a paraglider, a Hamas.
She posted, like, when I saw people posting the paragliders after literally the same day of the massacre, I was like, y'all all exposing yourselves right now.
Okay, to be fair to this guy, he can't.
This guy, the bald guy, the ugly dude?
Baldy, yeah, Baldy. To be fair to him, he can't control what his employees post.
Now, yeah, okay, keep watching. I've already seen this, already vetted this. Okay, so I'm gonna have you keep watching. Let me know. Keep that same energy. You know what I'm saying? Let me see what you think. You know what I'm saying? We'll see if you keep that same energy.
Paraglider.
I like keep giving people the benefit
depicted
of
depicted here with a machine gun a flying guy. Into Israel. She posted it under her online alias with the celebratory Free Palestine. Mr. Secretary, what's going on here? Is this typical of people who work at DHS? This is an asylum and immigration officer who is posting these frankly pro-genocidal slogans and images on the day that Israelis are being slaughtered in their beds. What have you done about this?
Four things I'd like to say to you. Number one, your question to suggest that that is emblematic of the men and women of the Department of Homeland Security is despicable.
What have you done? This person works for the Department of Homeland Security.
The moral compass of the situation and make it seem like it's an attack on, he's attacking America now. Like, that's what he's trying to do in that first point.
He's trying to be like, well, we're not all like this. So the fact that you're making it seem like we're all, bro,
yeah.
I'm so sick of the like, oh, well, we're not all like that. I'm like, bro. Can you focus, nigga? Like, focus. Like, he's given like a female like rebuttal. Like, this is stuff like girls say. Like, I'm not always like that.
Security. Have you fired her?
That was one of four answers.
Listen to this. His question is: have you fired her?
Have you fired her?
One.
Have you fired her? Don't come to this hearing room when Israel has been invaded and Jewish students are barricaded in libraries in this country and cannot be escorted out because they are threatened for their lives. You have employees who are celebrating genocide and you are saying it's despicable for me to ask the question. Has she been fired?
Chairman, Mr. Secretary, after the consumption of Senator Hawley's time, I'd like to speak.
Has she been fired?
Because I will not
be. Like an answer, would you?
Because I will not be given the opportunity.
Has she been fired?
So that individual has been placed on administrative leave.
So she's not been fired.
Number two.
That's even worse. Like the fact that she's on leave. The fact that she's on leave is like, we know you messed up. Mm-hmm. Like they're acknowledging she messed up for it, but the repercussions were not enough. You know.
It's like we're. It's more of just like, let's sweep it under the rug. Let's let this storm pass. You're going to be on
it. Yeah.
Let's let this storm pass. Then you can come back.
That's what's slick about. That's what's like slimy about it. You know what I'm saying? Like if he took the position of like, no, she still works with us. Like, you know, this is a political stance that, you know, some people have. And, you mm-hmm. know, when she posted that, she wasn't acknowledging the massacre. She was just, you know, she's just pro-Palestinian rights, or she's just empathizes with the people that have been under 75 years of occupation. And, you know, he could have given the typical rhetoric.
Now, what's the problem with okay, so he's saying she's supporting genocide, right?
Yeah.
Or even a war. Like, is there a point where you can't support a certain side in war? Otherwise, you're going to get put on administrative leave.
Well, the issue is I'm not saying like the thing is she can say what she wants, right? It's protected mm-hmm. speech. But as an employee of the Department of Homeland Security, you celebrate the massacre of an ally of the United States. It's weird. Even if it wasn't an ally of the United States, because you got to remember, like, they came in and just butchered civilians. That's how they killed so many people in one day. They targeted unarmed civilians that were living close to the border. So it's like, It wasn't like, oh, you know, Palestine won a military battle against the Israeli Defense Force. No, everybody knew what happened that day, and people knew it wasn't pretty. So celebrating the a massacre for any country the day it happened is very weird.
Yeah,
it's very morally questionable, to say the least. And when you are in the position she's in, to be that morally questionable when a border is breached and seeing the consequences of that, and your job is to protect the borders of the United States, it's just so weird.
It's not a good look. It's not.
No. Yeah, I mean, to say the least, yeah, it's not a good look. I wouldn't say hi to her that day at work. You know what I'm saying?
Why has she not been fired?
You probably think you're a Palestinian. So
what?
She would probably think you were part of one of the Islamic nations, so you would have been all right.
She probably thinks I'm black and I just identify with any people that are not white around the country that she feels are oppressed, and because black people get hijacked into every cause that's not their own.
Who was hired in 2019.
Why has she not been fired?
Three, I cannot speak to an ongoing personnel matter.
Why has this person not been fired? Your answer is you can't speak to it? This isn't sufficient to fire her?
I am not in a position to speak to an...
He already said she was on administrative leave, so he already did talk about it.
Yeah.
Ongoing personnel matter.
This isn't sufficient to fire her? That's what you're telling me?
That is not what I'm saying.
She's not attacking America. Now, if she was attacking America, that's a different story.
I see your point.
I think that's grounds for immediate firing, right? Now, they put her on administrative leave. Now, who's to say he's the one who talked to her? Or like, I mean,
you can say that.
I know. But I'm just throwing that point out there. But like, he's asking him the direct question: why hasn't she been fired? But like, what if it had to go to a committee and they're still talking about it and going over, should we let this person stay or keep her job or fire her? Because it's not an attack on America. Now, if she was saying like, oh, Islam, come to America and death to Americans. If she was saying that.
It's I get what you're saying. I'm just saying it was a massacre.
Yeah, yeah.
It was celebrating a massacre of any nation, especially one that is America's ally.
Yeah.
Is a very good reason to fire somebody. If there's any reason to fire somebody as someone that's responsible for the security of a country, maybe someone that celebrates the genocide of a people the day of is a pretty good reason to fire somebody.
Yeah, but I mean, you've had people celebrate for the Ukrainians and for the Russians. So they're not really.
That's a war.
I know. But you're not really talking about America.
Yeah, I get it. I know it's not America. I said that already. I said anywhere in the world celebrating that. Also an ally even if we take the ally out of it, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like if a group of militants came in and went into Poland and killed 12,000
There's still people in America who support the Nazis. Like, should they all lose their jobs and not be able to work? I mean, they're probably in the DHA.
I don't know if those particular people that celebrate the Nazis, but two, the Nazis haven't committed a massacre. If the Nazis came in, let's say if you want to use the perspective of it being a different country, if in Canada a group of Nazis went in and killed 12,000 Canadians or 1,400 Canadians and raped people and someone was like, yeah, Nazis, let's go. I love it. You know, that day, I think that's ground for firing at the very least.
Personally. Wouldn't that be a breach in freedom of speech? I mean,
I'm not saying to criminally prosecute them. I'm saying I would fire them. Like, I know obviously I'm biased, I'm Israeli, but I would fire them because it's very, very disgusting to celebrate something like that. Like, if it was a military battle where it was military versus military and like one side won, and like, yeah, they won the battle and they gained territory, and like, yeah, whatever. Even that would probably be grounds for firing, especially if it's an ally.
Mm-hmm.
It would be for me grounds for firing. And honestly, I think the same Muslim extremism that victimized Israel is also something America needs to worry about after 9/11 and, you know, a lot of different things. So for me and my brain, knowing what I know, even remove, that would be a huge red flag. And if it was my job to protect America, I would say it seems like you have other ties that are not aligned with America, because that's not something someone that's aligned with America and American values would celebrate.
Yeah, that's fair. No, I think government agencies should be apolitical. So,
but it's not political.
No, I know, but you know what I'm saying? Like, they shouldn't have any stance on any side.
Oh, like her, like,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, that wasn't really a political statement. No. That's, so yeah, I mean, she went next level. Like, she went past politics. It was like glorifying the butchering of people that are unarmed.
Sad.
But she's still on your payroll as we sit here today. Video. Not what I'm saying.
The video. Still
your- oh, my bad.
Her payroll as we sit here today.
I gotta not have it on the other side.
How many cases? She was an asylum and immigration officer. How many cases did she adjudicate?
Adjudicate. Senator, I'm not in a position to speak about an ongoing person.
I'm not asking about that. I'm asking you how many cases she adjudicated.
Have you seen the video of the guy? I'm gonna have us react to a couple of them, but have you seen the video of the guy that I sent you that like tracks flights?
Maybe.
His name's Monkey. I'll send you his profile. Oh, he's
You said that's the guy that I would like or something like that.
Yeah, you'd like. Have you seen his stuff or not yet?
I watched the last video you sent.
Yeah, so he tracks flights and he's saying how like this is like another way, because he's like that lady that said like Free Palestine. She's like another asylum seeker, I guess. Like that's her job. So I assume she has control over who gets asylum in America. Mm-hmm. So he's saying there's a lot of flights coming to America from the Middle East. So they're saying like they're taking advantage, like they're taking advantage of the situation and bringing more people to America because that brings in votes. Like even Miggy, I forget what he told me, but he's like, yeah, like honestly, like they looked out for me and now I'm always going to vote. Like I'm not always going to vote, but like, there's something I gotta look out for. I gotta be loyal because they brought me or my family to America. I forget what it was, but I was like, that's interesting. Like, it really works. Like, if someone's if a political party changes your life that much, the amount of loyalty you're gonna have for them is like when what's his name? What's that rapper that Tupac released? Kodak Black. He got him out of jail, and now he's like. He's
Tupac.
Oh, did I say Tupac?
Yeah, Trump. That's all like, what?
Kodak Black. He got Kodak Black out of jail. Trump got Kodak Black out of jail. And now he's like the biggest Trump head because he's like, bro, I'm a ride for him to like, he's like, bro, like he got him freedom. He got him. And if someone gets you a ticket to America, you know, land of the free, home of the brave.
Yeah.
Let's keep it that way. You know what I'm saying? It's tough to undo that.
Yeah.
Adjudicated.
My answer remains.
Did she adjudicate any cases involving Israelis seeking asylum in this country?
Same answer.
Well, let me just point you to what else she posted on social media, where she drew attention to the fact that she is an immigration and asylum officer.
Ooh.
Hashtag immigrants, hashtag asylum seekers, hashtag Palestine, hashtag refugees welcome. This is on her LinkedIn post.
That's crazy.
She has her professional.
Okay. Now she's making it very unprofessional, and now she's getting very political with it. Now I think that's grounds for firing.
You're like not celebrating the butchering of 1,400 people, but now she crossed the line.
Well, now it's affecting America,
bro. If you have the mentality, this is the thing. I guess maybe it's for me. I've you know hired and fired a lot of. You know, people that I know, like once you smell something that is fishy, it's like the tip of the iceberg. Usually like it's what you know is usually worse than the reality. Like once you smell a little bit, It's like that's what they're willing. That's what they're willing to say. If that's what you're willing to say out loud, mm-hmm. you cannot imagine what people are thinking and what they're doing behind closed doors.
Yeah, fair.
Affiliation posted. So I think the American people deserve to know. Has she admitted, contrary to law, individuals who should not be in this country, or denied Jewish refugees, whose genocide she's advocating, asylum that they deserve?
Same answer.
You're not gonna tell us what this person's done? Are you conducting a review of
her? This is just ugly. Like our government's so like bought and sold. Mm-hmm. And when I say our, I mean Merck.
Yeah, you're not.
Okay. I'm an American, bro. I'm more American than you.
No. When were you born? Where are you born?
America. America.
Straight.
America. America. Don't be a hater, bro.
I was born in America. I'm an American. Pure-blooded American.
Why did it switch for me? This guy's so ugly, bro. I hate this guy. The leader of Iran. All right. This is the exiled prince of Iran. I think America had better relations with him, obviously. But honestly, I don't know. Obama and Biden be like giving money to Iran like a mofo.
Yeah.
They're definitely like compromised in some way. I don't know how. I'm trying to like get to the bottom of it. But yeah, let's watch this. Oh, actually, let me try the vertical one. Oh, that's kind of perfect, but kind of awkward because like the bottom part's kind of missing.
Yeah.
So let me make this like longer.
Pause.
Nah. Okay.
I'm mature.
All right. The president of Iran, Ibrahim Raisi, is issuing an ominous warning to the United States and Israel over the weekend. In a statement,
it's crazy how bold everybody is now. Like the leader of Hezbollah, Iran, like Turkey, like Biden is such a clown, bro. Yeah. If he gets elected again, I think I told you this last time. I was like, bro, you should consider moving. Like that would be the most embarrassing thing. I think like I would need like an America break if he got elected, because that if people are that dumb or were that corrupt, that's a huge issue.
I think people are people are trying to they're still underestimating the US because I mean just because Joe is a little sleepy at the wheel.
Yeah. That's a big part of it.
But knowing who supports Joe Biden, they want war. So don't make that.
Who supports Joe Biden?
I don't know.
I don't know what you're trying to say. Like usually I can tell what you're insinuating.
I don't want to say it.
Oh, I know what it is.
Quote, the Zionist regime's crimes have crossed the red lines, which may force everyone to take action. Washington asks us not to do anything, but they keep giving widespread support to Israel. Here with his reaction is the exiled crown prince.
You know what's funny? Like they use Zionists like it's like the N-word, bro. They're like, we're not mad at Jews. We're just mad at Zionists. Like, we don't like Zionists.
We don't hate blacks. We just hate
niggas. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just like, bro, you're not slick. Like, we know.
We could cuss on your channel.
Yeah, I don't care.
Well, I don't know. I don't know any of the rules on here.
I think we're good. Yeah, we're good.
Mm-hmm. It's Royal Highness Reza Pahlavi.
Your Highness.
Reza, good morning to you.
Chill.
Good morning.
Okay. What is Iran doing? The red line, what are they talking about? I mean, they're bombing their proxy forces weird. Are shooting at our guys over in that region every day, it seems.
That's exactly the case. From the very beginning, the attitude of this regime has been repression at home and aggression abroad, using obviously its proxies, Hezbollah in Lebanon and Hamas in Gaza. That's how far the regime is apart from where the Iranian people are. The most heard slogan on Iranian street has been, neither Gaza, neither Lebanon, my life is sacrificed for Iran. What does that mean? That means the Iranian people know very well that what today the regime represents and calls for has nothing to do with their aspiration. The regime, on the other hand, is trying to push the envelope, trying to see whether they can take advantage of a weakness, which currently seems to be the case, and that's why they become emboldened every time the West hesitates or doesn't apply the necessary pressure, as it should have, to at least...
America's been responding late to things. Like, yeah. They've been, like, they've just been really, really, really soft. And I don't know why. I mean, obviously giving Iran money when it's clear that they're an enemy of America, I think was like a clear sign of weakness. A lot of people think China has Biden and a lot of the American administration on bank, on like bankroll. What do you think about that? I don't have proof, but that's just what people are saying. But it makes sense by actions.
It wouldn't be a stretch. It wouldn't be a stretch. I mean, it wouldn't be a stretch for any country really to buy and sell politicians. So
it's not influence peddling. I mean, that's what they're going to court for, but that's kind of been under the radar on the news, I feel like.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people talking about it.
Contain this, but ultimately with the idea of putting an end to the problem by eliminating the regime once and for all. Otherwise, it would be just kicking the can down the road.
Yeah, it looks like that's what they're doing right now. But our president has been very clear. He has said, don't. That's all he said is don't. Shouldn't he say don't or there's going to be hell to pay?
Look, I mean, the words are words, but action determine the outcome. Right now, you have a situation where you have encouraged the regime that if you take hostages, you will be rewarded and get some more cash in your hands. You have called for sanctions, but you have never implemented them, like the old sanctions. That is not what I call putting pressure. So, you know, be good boys and don't harm us. Is that the message?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Reza,
this guy's real.
See, that's one thing I always like. People say like I'm fear-mongering for some reason, but when anybody threatens America or the US, why take that lightly?
No, you should not. America hasn't been touched in so long.
Yeah.
That like this is what I'm saying. Like people think they're safe, but they're not. They're not as safe as they think. Like it just makes people soft.
Yeah.
Soft times create soft countries.
Good times create.
What does the pressure look like? Help the people of the State Department. They need some ideas.
Look, I mean, there has been a strategy of maximum support. And as I say, if it's actually implemented, and by the way, if your European allies were to also target and designate the IRGC as a terrorist organization, that's additional pressure on the regime and will curtail their efforts even further. But parallel to maximum pressure, there ought to be also a campaign of maximum support. That means empowerment of the Iranian people to put domestic pressure to force the regime ultimately to paralysis and collapse. That would mean more technological assistance, funding.
Hey, this guy's real though. Like he's given the real like recipe for a coup. Yeah. That's kind of based, like low key. Like people don't really talk like that over. That might be news to a lot of casual, like geopolitics or geo strategy, like consumers. Like he's essentially saying, like CIA, get up in there, like, you know, create a coup, and you know, put me back in there, put me back in the game, is what he's saying, pretty much. Which is kind of dope on Fox.
Shoot your shot. Shoot. I mean,
you know what I'm saying? Things can change quick.
Yeah.
Funding labor strikes and what have you. And it has happened before. Yeah. Case in point, Solidarity Movement in Poland, for instance, at the end of the Cold War.
So Reza, what does the average Iranian in Tehran, as they look at what the regime is doing?
Iranians, like, they love America and love Israel. You know that, right?
No, I didn't.
They do the actual, like, the people, they hate the regime.
Really?
And they actually love America and love Israel.
How did the regime get into power?
I think there was just like they had a coup and then I forget, like someone filled it in. And yeah, I don't know. I don't know the history too well, but
this dude,
but the guy before, it might've been him actually. I don't know. But the guy before was way more, favorable to America, like way more westernized, willing to,
I know, Iran used to be very like westernized.
Yeah. So the kids are still like, not the kids, but like the people are still used to that and they still kind of like that.
Mm-hmm.
But they saw him as like too elitist and too like rich, and like so they didn't like that part, but they didn't realize that what was coming was not going to be much better.
It's like the saying, the devil you know is better than the devil you don't know.
Exactly.
I think
Well, they're thinking that for 44 years, we've been primarily occupied by a group of people who are ideologically not at all interested in the livelihood of our own citizens. They are only interested in exporting an ideology beyond our borders and create a modern-day Shiite caliphate to dominate the region and the rest of the world. They are conducting all these campaigns. They are funding all of these proxies right. at the expense of the Iranian people themselves. So Iranians want...
Yeah, they're trying to export Islam.
Yeah.
Oh, isn't, that's based.
That's supposed to be like a global takeover or something like that.
Yeah, that's. I mean, that's what the literature say, like Sharia, and they. That's what they want, and they're actually doing it pretty well, actually, right now. So, but fastest they ain't gonna get away with this.
Fastest growing religion.
Yeah, but that's by birth. Christ is still king, and I think will still be king.
Yeah.
They're just having a lot of kids. That's why I'm trying to have a lot of kids. I'm trying to compete with these Muslims. You know what I'm saying?
How many you got right now?
I got none, but I'm trying to, you know, once you find the track, once you find the girl, then you just run. You know what I'm saying? But I'm trying to find my,
like a baby girl.
I'm trying to find that runway. Once I find that runway, I'm going all in. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I feel it.
Want liberty. Iranians want freedom. Iranians share the very same values of citizens in democratic country, whether it's the West and other countries in the world, because we believe in human rights. We believe in equality. We believe in putting an end to any kind of discrimination, whether for ideological reasons or religious reasons or sexual orientation. Something totally different than what this regime represents. It does not represent the will and the opinions of my fellow compatriots.
Yeah. Well, but when you look at the regime with these proxy forces firing stuff off at us, do they want a war with the United States? Because we know who's...
Dude, this guy's so weird when he talks. It scares me. Look at this guy when he talks.
His face. The United States? Because we know who's putting those weapons in their hand.
I mean, look, the regime in Iran has tried to sabotage what could have led to legitimate peace in the region. The forces of evil that are fighting via terror, whether it's conducted against our own people or Israel or other nations in the region, they are not committed to peace. They do not want peace. And the only way to have peace is to allow for a two-state solution, but that will only occur...
I think he's the exiled crown prince that they exiled, so I don't know what happened. I think they probably want him back now. I mean, seeing what Iran has turned into.
At the time that these proxies and everybody who's trying to sabotage the peace process are no longer there. So you have to eliminate the problem once and for all. Right. You can kill soldiers and Hamasis and Al-Qaedas of this world, but you cannot kill an ideology. You have to ultimately defeat that ideology that breeds such kind of conduct and comportment by some.
Indeed. He is the exiled crown prince of Iran.
Yeah. So that's all I got for you. What are your final closing thoughts?
It was crazy. I think the first video is like pretty much how a lot of Palestinian supporters, Hamas supporters, kind of feel in response to Israel retaliating. And I know a lot of people kind of think Israel is kind of being a little bit unfair. So it was nice to clear the air on that one. So I'm glad we touched on that. Christ is King, and hit the gym.
Like, subscribe. We're gonna try to do these, you know, pretty often. As long as JBay is down. I don't want to do these alone. That sounds so boring and lame. So hopefully, you know, he's down. But I'm gonna try to do these a lot, especially while the war is going on, to just kind of educate people. But you know, hopefully we can, you know, keep it going in the future. So yeah, comment what you guys liked, what you don't like. And yeah. Peace.
Peace.